coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. We had the sweaters out, the wind was whipping in Sea Island, Georgia, and a sudden death finish as well. We get into that, plus another great Tiger Woods announcement for the golfing world and some holiday golf incoming as well. It's Thanksgiving week, so we talk about our TV and movie watching plans as well as a birthday salute. And this week's guest is professional bowler Marshall Kent. Really great guy that gets into the science of bowling, some bowling and golf comparisons, and a whole lot more. Great conversation coming your way. Plus, we finish with the final part of our Thanksgiving series talking dessert. Of course, hashtag always end with food. All of it is brought to you by our friends at Active Body. And Mike, I talked to you about how easy this workout is with the Active Body.
So easy.
A handheld device, 5 to 10 minutes a day. I do it every day at 2 p.m. I'm going to start sending out the stories of when I do my workouts because it's so easy. I work it into my day really seamlessly. And it's a great way to quickly work out your muscles in the way you need to in a quick and concise time frame. Again, Active Body is the name of the company, and it's the Active 5, in which you can get 20% off. Our promo code is COL20 for 20% off of the Active 5 unit. It's part of my daily routine, and make it part of yours. Again, it's the Active Body, the Active 5 unit, promo code COL for 20% off at activebody.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groovit Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, they were just south of me down there at Sea Island, Georgia for the RSM Classic this weekend, where we got to have some free golf.
Yes, we did. A little bonus action.
Yeah.
Not only 4 days, but a playoff as well. And it's always interesting this time of year, like when you sneak in a playoff on the PGA Tour, because you know, most of the sports watching audience is locked in on football, especially on an NFL Sunday. But when the tweets start coming in and you see that the leaderboard is jam-packed, it's worth your attention. And we had a good little finish on Sunday, for sure.
Yeah, we had a lot of super low scores on Sunday. Let's start with the 62 from Harris English.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I saw that. Everyone was going low. So he went 62. And then Kisner went 63. There were a bunch of guys around the lead. Robert Streb was a guy who we hadn't seen in a long time. He last won at this tournament at the RSM 6 years ago. So he resurfaced on the leaderboard. And then Camilo Villegas was a very feel-good story.
Yeah.
Obviously losing his daughter a couple months ago. It was great to see him back on the leaderboard. That was a name that you hadn't seen in a long time. So it was kind of a replenishment of the guys that we hadn't seen in a while on the leaderboard.
Yeah, great to see him have a top 10 finish, especially after everything that's happened to him and his family. Of course, we had another 62 from Cameron Tringale. I'm always going to say his name wrong. There we go. Cool. Good for me. And of course, then that 63 from Kevin Kisner, 68 from Robert Streb that led us to ended up being a two-hole playoff. And the guy who didn't go the lowest on the day was still able to pull it out. Streb had a great approach shot, almost holed it in from the fairway.
That wedge should have gone in, honestly. Hit it to like less than a foot, and Kisner did everything he could to make a scrambling four, but it just didn't matter. And Streb, again, this is that horses for courses thing that you and I talk about. It's an unfamiliar phrase to most people outside the golf world, but essentially what it means is there are certain guys that are just always going to play well at certain venues. They just have an affinity for the way the course lays out and the way it suits their game. And Robert Streb is a perfect example. Mike, he's won twice in the PGA Tour, and it's both been at the RSM. So shout out to him for getting his second win.
Congrats to him. Let's go across the pond, because I know they were having some fun in South Africa, right?
Yes, that's right. A little travel segment. Time for you to get your Google out or anyone else who's listening right now. So they were in Cyprus for a couple weeks, which we talked about in detail. Beautiful place. Now, we have to shout out another destination which they went to for the Joburg Open, Johannesburg, South Africa. Great city, Mike. I don't know what you're seeing in the images, but shout out to our past guest, Felicity Sheba. And DGD, this girl's golf diary, she's based out there. She would have been there if there were fans out allowed on the European Tour. No fans nonetheless, but fantastic finish. And tell me your thoughts on Johannesburg and South Africa as you search through the images.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what I get is cityscape images. You throw in the word golf in Johannesburg, South Africa, and you get a lot of really beautiful looking courses out there.
Yeah. So, it's a nice destination. Yeah. I love it. I'd love to get out there once in my lifetime for sure. Bucket list place to visit on anyone's travel itinerary. And Wilco Nienaber, he didn't win. He didn't get the win, but he hit a 439-yard bomb, Mike. Interesting stat. Wilco Nienaber averaged as much as Bryson DeChambeau is averaging off the tee on the PGA Tour. So we might have a European version of Bryson out there torching the courses. He had a couple of viral drives this past week that went crazy on Twitter. Again, you can follow my Twitter miscreants on Course of Life 1. You're at MWRINC. But I love following the European Tour. Shout out to the Johannesburg Open and glad to see them make it safely to South Africa.
Yeah, pretty incredible looking out there. Great to see a big bomb because we love to see people hitting bombs.
Always. Yes.
Always.
That's right. Shout out to
always
our past guest, Josh Koch, you know, hitbombs.com, right? That's Wilco's slogan as well.
Exactly. You know what else we're really excited to be seeing, though, coming up the week before Christmas? Little early Christmas present for everyone.
Yes.
Tiger and his son, Charlie.
What a nice surprise this was to see in the last few days, because this father-son challenge, and I'm not going to lie, I used to pay a lot more attention to this tournament in past years, but the field is kind of depleted in recent years. It's been stuffed late in December on the schedule. It's usually kind of an afterthought because it is basically a silly season event when everyone's shutting it down for the holidays. But this has brought new life to it. I don't know about you, but I am going to be fully tuned in to the father-son challenge, the PNC challenge on NBC the weekend before Christmas, because that, like you said, Tiger and his, I think, 11-year-old son, Charlie, going to be playing in the tournament together as a team, Mike. Tiger and his son in team golf. Doesn't get much better than that for the holidays.
No, and can I just say that Charlie's swing is so much better than mine.
I know. How insulting is that? Just to see
I mean, I would expect nothing less.
Amazingly. Yeah. I know, yeah. It's very unfortunate to see. It makes you feel a little inadequate, but nonetheless, we're going to see Charlie tee it up. It's going to be interesting to see Tiger. Like, you know, it's Tiger Woods, and we know how competitive he is in every single aspect, and every time he steps on the course, are we going to see a more reserved Tiger with his son, or is he still going to go after it and be as aggressive as we always know him to be? That's going to be an interesting vibe to watch in a few weeks, but exciting holiday golf upcoming for us all.
It's going to be exciting. You know what else is exciting, Alex? The match this week.
The match. That's right.
Black Friday.
It is, yes. The Black Friday match. I don't know. This might have to be renamed at this point. It's match 3 now.
Yeah.
Crazy that it is. So just to recap, we had Tiger versus Phil. They ended in the pigeon putt in the dark in Vegas a couple of years ago at Shadow Creek. And then we had the 2-on-2 in the middle of the pandemic and the pouring rain, which you and I were on hot mic for broadcasting. So now we're at the match 3 here. So let's kind of set the stage. Give me your initial thoughts as we head into the TNT broadcast on Black Friday, as we have Phil Mickelson and Charles Barkley against Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. What are your thoughts?
My thought is, where is Tiger Woods? Why couldn't we get Tiger in this one?
Busy prepping for the father-son, Mike, obviously.
I guess so. Yes. I guess so. That said, here's my other big thoughts or question marks going into this. One, is Peyton going to be wearing two gloves again?
That's right. That was a very interesting theme that played out during the rainy match a few months back, correct?
Yep. And two, I feel so bad for Phil that he's got Chuck on his team.
Big time handicapped. And let's get into the preview and picks, because this is the only thing going on in golf this week. No, officially no PGA Tour event. They're going to be back in Mayakoba next week. So we'll talk Mexico next week. But in terms of what's going on this week, for my preview, Mike, plus 150 are the odds for Phil and Chuck. And you know that now in the betting lingo, that means a $10 bet wins you 15. They're underdogs big time. Steph Curry and Peyton Manning are like minus 200 favorites. So $20 just to win 10. That tells you where Vegas's money is. And it seems like Phil might have to do something like fairly heroic to beat that two-man team of Steph Curry and Peyton Manning, according to the odds, that is.
Yeah, I mean, we know Phil's going to be carrying this team. We know Peyton really held his own in that match in the rain, really did really well. Question mark is Steph Curry. What do we know about him?
Yeah, so here's what we know about Steph Curry. He is about a, let's say, 1 or 2 handicap, I would say, conservatively. He has played a couple times in that Korn Ferry Tour event in the Bay Area. He has missed the cut both times. I think it's twice he's played, and he's missed the cut both times. So he shot. So just to give you some reference, he shot in about 75, 76 on like a professionally set up course. So he's a pretty good player in his own right. So if you put him and Payton together, I feel like that's the recipe for some good moments. And again, it's going to be up to Phil, because I don't think we're going to get anything out of Chuck. Are we maybe like a putt or a chip or maybe a spare approach on a par three? I don't know how many heroic moments we're going to get out of Charles Barkley on that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't know.
So Friday afternoon, we'll see it all. And a couple notes, which I know you're interested in. CBS TNT team on the call. That includes a guy who we have not heard from in a while, who I know you like, Gary McCord.
Oh, yes.
On the broadcast call for the match.
You know how disappointed I was when I heard Gary McCord was kicked out of CBS?
Right?
Like, yeah. I was as disappointed when Gary McCord got kicked out as I was when I'm trying to think of a good analogy here. When this is going to hurt for both of us, when Quinnipiac lost to Yale in the national championship game.
The ultimate downer moment right there. Show QU hockey. That season's on delay, but they're going to get started soon, hopefully. Yeah, that was it was quite a depressor to hear. Him and Peter Tosses were
the two of them, which I thought were like the best part of CBS. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to see Gary McCord's going to be back on the call. And this is a perfect venue and event for him to be back too, because we know what kind of brand of humor and commentary he brings to the table. This is a great setting for that. And then I got to do it. I hate doing this too, because it always brings up the same conversation, but shout out to your boy, Eli Manning. He's going to be on the call as well too on Friday. So we're going to get some Eli and Peyton commentary for sure.
Did Eli bring up how he beat the Patriots twice?
No,
in the
I'm
Super
sure
Bowl?
He'll bring it up on Friday. I know it'll come up at one point. You'll tweet me for sure. You're at MWRINC and I'm at Course Life One. I look forward to that message as well.
You know, one of these matches needs to be Peyton and Eli against like someone, you know, they need to be in this together.
So I'm hearing, my rumor mill is telling me that Eli being on the course next to Peyton is actually going to be a bad thing for Peyton, because they fight truly like brothers, like picture, you know, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly and Step Brothers. Like they fight like that. So like Eli might get in Peyton's head. So maybe that's another reason to bet Phil and Chuck as the underdog this Friday. But nonetheless, I will post picks on Friday, maybe a couple prop bets as well too. Eli and Andre Iguodala on the call as well too, NBA player as well, who's got a lot of golf experience. So that should be fun for the Thanksgiving weekend watchers out there. No PGA Tour stop, but looking forward to the match, part three.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk about it on next week's episode. Yeah. Let's move into Tuned In, where we talk about what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. What have you been tuning into, Alex?
A little bit of everything. I'm trying to get Ted Lasso going. I know you've suggested that a few weeks ago. I had another friend, you know, Anthony, suggest that to me as well. Yep. So now everyone's just piling onto me. I need to get that going for the holiday season. Let's see. I've just been watching all sorts of random reality TV. The problem with this week, Mike, and everyone at home who's listening knows, is that this is Thanksgiving week. There is an extreme abundance of sports TV nirvana going on for four straight days. It's part of your birthday weekend. You know it very well. There's tons of football going on. What direction do you like to go like this on a holiday weekend? I know everyone likes to check in the sports, but are you mixing in shows as well? What's your game plan for the holiday weekend, if you get any time for it?
I of course have the joy of working in retail. So that means I'm not going to have a whole lot of free time this weekend. That said, on Thanksgiving Thursday, I probably will try to watch some movies. I don't watch a lot of football anymore on Thanksgiving. And a lot of that is the wife doesn't like it. So it's not on the TV.
These Thanksgiving games are so crappy, Mike. You're not going to be able
to watch. I know. It's just like the good old days when no one watched football on Thanksgiving.
Shout out to the Lions. I'll be rooting them on though. But I hope everyone is tuned into whatever they want to binge. Hopefully people got some extra days out there off where they can lock in and get some shows crossed off their checklists. And happy Thanksgiving weekend to everyone else as well.
Let's get into this week's guest. Alex, I know that your wife is quite the bowler.
She is.
Yeah.
A college athlete as well too. Not just any bowler. NCAA. She went to the NCAAs, the real deal.
She did. Oh wow. I didn't know she was that accomplished.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as soon as this guest came across our forefront, Mike, we had Lindsay Hoskins on several weeks back. And you remember on the interview with Lindsay Hoskins, she mentioned that she lives in Vegas and she actually teaches some bowlers how to swing the golf club. I was like, wait a second, what bowlers? Yeah. I'm interested. I'm all ears. And that got us to where we are today with this week's guest.
That's right. Marshall Kent, a professional bowler, will be joining us. We're branching out into something a little different to bring it here to you. So we're going to get into all things golf and bowling, the science of bowling, in true Bryson DeChambeau territory, but yes, on the alley funny. Instead of on the grass, and much more. But first, we want to let you know that, as always, this conversation is brought to you by Groovit Golf, makers of the Groovit Golf Brush, which has been in such high demand, and it's now available for pre-order. So you can get it in time as soon as it's out. You don't need to do any more waiting on an email list. You can now pre-order, put all your info in. As soon as it's in stock, it'll get shipped to you. This is not the average brush. This has a built-in pump that sprays water or cleaning solution right onto the club face, allowing for a quick and efficient scrub on the course. And while your average golf brush is stuck to your bag, the Groovit brush has detachable magnets that make it easier to use. Plus, the brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. If you can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, send it back and Groovit will give you a free replacement. Now that is reliability. So prepare to be amazed at the consistency and control that clean grooves will give you. Using your existing golf clubs with the Groovit, you'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency that you are looking for. So check out groovitbrush.com and pre-order the Groovit brush today.
Next up on the tee from Las Vegas, Nevada, we have a professional bowler with 4 PBA Tour wins, also 2014 Rookie of the Year, who's also got a love for the game of golf as well. It's Marshall Kent joining the Course of Life. Marshall, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, Alex. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for hopping on with us. We'll get to our connection in a little bit. But first, let's talk about early days for you. I know you play golf, but you're a professional bowler. Which one came first? Has it always been bowling first for you?
Yeah, so I was pretty much born into bowling. So my parents bought a bowling center back in 1989. So a few years before I was born, they kind of renovated. They took really good care of it, renovated it. And growing up, it became my daycare. So while they were working, I would be out on the lanes pushing a ball down the lane before I could even walk. And
nice.
At the end of the day, they'd come down the lanes and pick me up by the collar, and I'd be kicking and screaming because I didn't want to leave, because I want to keep bowling. And we'd do it all over again the next day, and all the way up till actually pretty much I left for college, just about. So my grandparents actually are the ones that got me into golf, because there was this little par 3 course right behind Bowling Center that they'd take me to once in a while when I'd go to their house to be babysat. And I had like a little set of clubs, and we'd go and play a couple rounds, and it happened about once a week usually. And so, but as I got older, bowling took a little bit more of a priority, because I fell in love with the game. And obviously it's easier to bowl more because it didn't cost any money.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. No, yeah, you had a good price on frames there. So tell me about the moment when, I'm sure there was a lot of talk between the family of you kind of taking over the business and operating the alley. I guess at what point did you realize that you might actually be able to go make money bowling yourself instead of working at the alley with the family?
Yeah, you know, what's funny is that it was my first job growing up, obviously, but we didn't really talk a whole lot about me taking over their center, because my parents didn't really want to push me into it. And they didn't want to kind of put that burden on me. They wanted me to kind of grow and see what I wanted to do.
Nice.
And if it's something I wanted to do, then they would let me. But it really wasn't a big, it wasn't really talked about a whole lot. So, I'd go in bowl tournaments in the state, Washington. And we had a bunch of little mini junior tours that were really, really good. And the talent was unbelievable. And I'd like to credit the Northwest for the talent pool. And I think it's why I'm here today. But then the moment I kind of realized I could do it for a living was when I won the Junior Gold National Championship in 2010. I was 17 at the time and competing against kids that are bowling in college that are up to about 20, 21 years old. And made my first berth on the Junior Team USA. And it kind of just escalated from there. You know, I got the college scholarship to Robert Morris and headed right out for the tour from there. So, and then my parents were my whole family was extremely supportive of it. And, you know, I've been blessed to be able to do what I love for a living.
Very cool. A shout out to Robert Morris as well, too. I went to Quinnipiac University, which played in the same athletic conference as Robert Morris for a lot of sports. We didn't have a bowling team, but cool that you went spent some time out there in Pennsylvania as well. So let's talk about you post-college getting out on the tour and the 2014 rookie season. I told you before we hopped on, that was the first year that my wife got me into watching bowling on TV. I bowled casually before, but started watching it a lot more then. And that was a great season for you. Talk to me about the rookie year and just kind of what went right to get your professional career off to the right start?
I was fortunate enough to actually make a couple TV shows before I even graduated college. And that kind of gave me some tour experience and really got me some experience competing against the guys. And I got to talk to them a lot and learn a lot. And even competing on Team USA as well, I got to bowl with Chris Barnes and Tommy Jones, Bill O'Neill and Patrick Allen and learned a lot from them as well and get their take on what it was like out there. So I came into the tour a little more prepared, I feel like, than most rookies would. And I ended up getting fortunate enough to win a title my rookie year, and that's kind of the accomplishment that stood out that year. You know, it was a pretty big deal to me to not only win rookie of the year, but to win a title my first year. And so that was pretty cool. I was pretty fortunate to do that. And then, you know, I've had a somewhat decent career since then. And, I feel like I'm competitive week to week. There's just always room for improvement. I mean, that's just kind of the nature of competing in sports for a living. There's always something you can do better. There's always something you're working on. So I'm looking forward to hopefully putting my name a little more on the map the next few years and kind of see what I can do from there. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun. You know, the guys are phenomenal. It's kind of like a big family out there. Even the relatives you don't want to see, you know, it's still family. it's always a great time out there. There's so many good dudes out there.
Let's talk about the camaraderie on tour. There were a few guys that I wanted to get some insider info on from you, Marshall Kent. We got to start with Belmo, Jason Belmonte. For those who don't know or just being introduced to bowling, he has had an enormous impact on the sport. Two-handed from Australia down under. Talk to me about your time with him on tour and kind of, you know, for golf fans as well, you know, what is his level of stardom in the bowling universe? Because I see him all over TV shows, you know, everywhere I look. And he's definitely become one of the faces of the sport in the last few years.
Yeah, he's comparable to an extent to Tiger Woods, pretty much. He's like the Tiger Woods of our sport.
There it is. You know,
that's pretty much the closest comparison because popularity-wise in the sport, that's where he's at. And he's won 13 majors in the last 7 or 8 years. So, and he's already broken the PBA record. And by three, the previous record was 10. He met that last year, and then he decided to win a few more. So his impact on the game has been like probably nothing we've seen in the sport. Because nowadays at youth tournaments, almost 50% of them are bowling two-handed cuts, but just because of the success that he's had, along with the other two-handers on the tour. So it's something that none of us saw coming 10 years ago, and now it's. The sport's completely different than it was 10 years ago.
Very cool.
Because of it. So, yeah, it's kind of similar to, you know, what Tiger did in his early days. You know, he hit it further. He was more accurate. He had the phenomenal short game. And there was even talks of, like, Tiger-proofing courses. Well, I mean, there's still trying to find ways to Belmo-proof some lane patterns. But he always finds a way to do it, to compete and win on it. And it's just why he's so phenomenal. And on top of that, he's just a very – He's a very well-spoken, gracious person. You know, he's a very friendly man. He's very approachable, and he does a lot of good for our sport. And it's been cool to be a part of.
Nice. Let's talk about another two-hander as well. First of all, I want to sneak in a shout-out for one of my favorite bowlers, one-hander, but model of consistency. I love watching EJ Tackett out there. I just got to shout him out. I don't know what relationship you have with him, but the other one I wanted to talk to you about is Kyle Troop, AKA the guy with the fro. What is he like behind the scenes? He, for those who don't know, he has an electric personality on the lanes. He does the fro pick celebration. You absolutely need a guy like this in professional bowling, and he's just constant entertainment. What's he like when he steps outside the lane though?
Yeah, he's a showman on the lanes and he's a gentleman off the lanes. Like he's nice. He's very humble, very friendly, very personable. you know, you can strike up a conversation with him, whether you know him for years or you just met him for the first time, and you know, he'll treat you like you've known each other for a while, and very fun to talk to, very good sense of humor, and you know, just an all around great guy. And I've gotten plenty of chance to hang out with them, and you know, we're pretty good friends on and off the lanes. And you know, the only thing I have against him is that he's gotten 3 titles off of me, so I'm kind of the giver of his career, sort of, in a way. But
I think you're due to get him in a final then eventually, right?
I'm thinking so, yeah. I might pull out a couple of lines on him that I've thought of, you know, when that time comes, but I'm gonna hold off on those until
definitely
I get the chance.
Save those. But, and not to mistake what I said earlier, you've got wins too, 4 of them on the PBA Tour. Talk to everyone who doesn't understand the formatting. I've seen a lot of different formats with the bowling tournaments that you've been in recent years, but how difficult it is to win on tour. You know, there's qualifiers and then you work your way through the bracket. And then when you get to the TV bracket, it changes. And I know there's different formats from the stepladder format and whatnot, but just for those who are entering the game and watching for the first time, explain how difficult it is to march through the bracket on any given week and win a tour title.
It's absolutely brutal because you're playing against the best in the world at what they do. So, and then a lot of the formats are 40, 50 games in a week. So,
Jesus,
you know, it's, you can have a good block or two, but really you have to develop the mentality to be able to bowl consistently over an entire 50 game tournament. And that's the hardest part for a lot of younger players to kind of develop and learn, because a lot of the formats, in junior events, because you only have about the week in the bowl, they're short formats, so you kind of get used to bowling the shorter formats, but they don't get a whole lot of experience in the long run events except once or twice a year. So when you first come out on tour and start bowling them, you know, it's hard to make that transition because you get so overhyped over a good block that when you follow up with a bad block, you essentially mentally take yourself out of the tournament.
Love
the
that.
Ones that make the shows, the ones that make the shows are the ones that are able to come back from that and not let those bad blocks get to them. So, and then on top of that, once you make the TV show, you pretty much have to win the tournament twice. Like the tournament leader only wins the tournament 48% of the time. So it's essentially, you have to win the tournament twice.
Wow.
Yeah. You like in golf, after 72 holes, the top 5 players have a sudden death playoff, and you know, someone runs through the top 5 finalists and gets to you, and you make a par on a hole and they hole out from the fairway for eagle, they win the tournament, even though you shot par. You know, they got lucky in that short run event and they win the tournament because of it. So it kind of, you know, that's about the closest thing I could put to how hard it is to win out on tour.
Definitely, yeah. And you see like collegiate golfers that go from playing 36 hole events to being out on tour with 72 hole events, and it's not easy to master, you know, fending off fatigue as those weeks go on. So it definitely takes a lot, and impressive to see you get 4, and we're looking to see many more. I know one thing kind of behind the scenes that you were doing earlier this week is bowling ball testing. Now, I have absolutely no idea how that works. I understand from a golf perspective how the best world's best, you know, measure their yardages and ball speed and swing speed as it pertains to the equipment they put in play. Take us behind the scenes and what you're doing when you're testing new bowling balls that you're looking to put in play.
So a lot of the testing has to do we know kind of the cover stock and core combination that we're about to throw. We before that, we kind of have an idea what the ball's going to do based off the numbers that a core reads. So there's RG, which is radius of gyration. There's the differential, which is basically like flare potential, which how much a ball's going to flare, which is how many oil rings is going to be across the ball that you're going to see, and how far apart they are.
Okay.
So it's kind of basically what it is. And then we have asymmetric cores versus symmetric cores. So we have different shapes. Different shapes do different things down lane. And then the cover stock technology, different chemicals make the ball react different ways. You can make a ball go further down lane and have that big hooking back end, or you can make the ball hook super early and be very smooth and controllable. And we use different bowling balls and different cover stocks in different situations on different patterns. And then on top of that, we have layouts as well. So each ball has a pin and its center gravity. And then some of them, the asymmetric ones, have a mass bias. And depending on where you put those 3 positions is going to make the ball do something completely different. So most of the pros kind of figure out their favorite layouts, the kind of go-tos to figure out what a bowling ball does. And then they can do trick ones from there. But I mean, there's so much that goes into it that you could throw five or six of the same bowling ball and they're going to be six completely different bowling balls.
Interesting. So, wow. Yeah. I didn't realize the intricacies and the amount of science that was applied to it. You're kind of speaking Bryson DeChambeau's language right now with the way he talks about the game of golf. There was a lot of high level stuff in there. Very impressive. I'll have to go re-listen to that explanation of what you're testing, but very cool nonetheless. Again, it's Marshall Kent. The PBA Tour is on Fox, FS1. I see it all the time. You guys are in the midst of a playoff run right now as well too, but I know you're based out in Las Vegas. So let's talk a little bit about life out there. You know, what do your days look like in terms of your week schedule, in terms of how much you are throwing on the lanes versus maybe time to escape for 18 holes of golf?
Honestly, lately I've been trying to play a lot more golf than I have been practicing, to be honest.
Love it.
Because when the whole COVID-19 hit, we were shut down for from the end of March pretty much until the PBA league in the playoffs, which is a few weeks ago. So I kind of took that time to step away from the game for a while and take a break and go out and play golf a little bit more. And, you know, normally if we're about to get ready for a trip, you know, a 3 or 4 week swing, I'll try to practice at least once a day, sometimes twice a day for about an hour and a half at a time. Because I feel like after about an hour, hour and a half, you kind of just mentally burn out and it becomes counterproductive. So, and then I'll take that time and go to the gym and refresh up on my mental game, read my notes, read a book. Right now I'm reading a golf book, actually. I wish I could remember the name of it, but I just started it. So, but,
very cool.
You know, it's because the game's like 85% mental. So, and the funny part is it's that much mental, but people spend 95% of the time working on their physical game. So you got to kind of learn to flip the switch on that one a little bit.
But interesting. Let's talk about bowling versus golf, because I've been always saying to my wife, who's a big bowler, I'm a lifelong golfer, that I feel like there's some comparisons with touch and the ability to place shots regardless of what, you know, field you're on. And do you see correlations between, you know, trying to hit chips and putts around the green with bowling, or do you more compare to driving the golf ball, or are you able to feed any knowledge from one to the other?
Oh yeah, the two sports are way more similar than most people think. So we have a deal on tour. On tour, we move pairs every single game. We move pairs of lanes, and each pair is going to be different. It's kind of like moving golf holes. You know, you don't play one 18 times.
Yeah.
So and some holes are, you know, you expect to make birdie and to make par, you're disappointed. And some of them you get par out of it and move on. And the pairs and bowling are the same way. The topography, who bowled there the previous game, a lot of factors go into that. And some pairs, you just kind of try to get 190, 200 and get out of there. And some pairs are green light pairs where you try to get 250, 260. So there's pair management. There's also, you know, there's course management like that. There's a lot of touch that goes into it, like chip shots. It could be kind of like changing rotations for us as well. Like there's times where we get more side rotation on the bowling ball, more forward roll, and each one's going to do different things. So it's kind of like managing a pitch shot versus maybe opening up a wedge and swing, giving it a little more of a full swing and getting it higher in the air, like changing your trajectory sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go on and on about the similarities.
Yeah, no, they really are all over. Thank you.
Mentally, too, it's the same thing. So
I appreciate you confirming that, because I've been wondering for a while. So now we have the professional's answer. I see the similarities indeed. In terms of your golf game, our mutual contact is Lindsay Hoskins, who was just recently on the Course of Life. I know you've gotten some lessons from her at Top Golf Vegas. How's the game looking for you golf wise right now? You know, what are you working on with Lindsay? What's the best part of your game? How are things out there on the course these days?
Well, she's definitely taught me a lot over the years. Like I feel like I've gone from probably like an 18 or 19 to about a 7.
Okay.
I think, 7
nice.
Handicap,
good work.
Yeah, she's just kind of helped me see course management differently. She's helped me with my swing, just being able to shape the ball differently and different shots in different scenarios. So it's been a lot of fun to go pick her brain when we go play golf and just see like what she sees on the course. And you know, in return, I try to help her out with her bowling game. So I feel like it's kind of a fair trade.
It is.
It's been an absolute joy working with her. So I've learned so much from her, and I'm thinking I'm going to keep learning from her for a long time. So
love it. Let's get to some rapid fire questions before we wrap up here with Marshall Kent, professional bowler. That one bowler 300 on Instagram, if you want to follow as well too. 17 300 games. Is that correct? Is my number correct, or has that changed recently since Wikipedia last updated?
I think I'm at 20 right now. That's just on tour.
Is there one that sticks out to you specifically out of all those, or they all feel similar at this point?
Most of them feel similar, except one. I shot 300 the opening game of the Masters last year, and my dad came down for the trip, and that was one of the last 300s he got to watch me bowl. So that one. And it popped up recently because I saw a picture of me and him hugging after that game. So
that's awesome.
That's probably one of the most memorable ones. And it's definitely memorable too, because I didn't throw it very good at all. I definitely got a lot of lucky breaks that game. It's not one of those 300s where you're like, oh yeah, that was pretty good. I was like, that should have been 190, and I bowled 300.
Love it when you stumble into that. I know what that feels like on the golf course. Yep. Hitting it all over the place and making par from everywhere. It's a good feeling. Yes. When you feel like you stole one. Yes. A bowling versus golf hypothetical for you. Option one, so hear me out on this. Option number one is a 7-10 split to win a PBA tour event, or on the golf course having a hole in one and your career low round ever.
Ooh, well, with the odds, I'm gonna go 7-10 split for a tour title, because that, for me personally, that'd be a lot more memorable, because it's what I do for a living.
Yeah.
So titles are probably like the apex of the game. Like you want titles so bad, so that one would stand out to me, because the whole one, you know, I feel like I'd go to a bar and tell my buddies about it. They're like, no way, you're lying to us. Like, no way, you're fibbing us. Whereas the 7-10 would be like, it's on TV, like, go watch it.
Yep, that's right. Check the film, Fox and Fox Sports 1, in case anyone forgot. Yeah. There. Good stuff. And our final question we love to ask our guests, Marshall, whether it's end of a day on the lanes, I've had some great bowling alley food as a side note. So it could be there, or it could be your favorite clubhouse in Las Vegas after playing 18 holes. What is your go-to like meal and drink of choice at the end of the day?
An ice cold beer. And the food choice, the one that sticks out to me is a dish we made at our home center called Mount Fuji. It's a breaded teriyaki chicken dish, and the chef would go home every Sunday and hand bread them with this secret recipe of breading, whatever, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And I'd order it every single time I went home. So that's the one that sticks out to me the most.
Secret recipe always makes it double day entertainment. I love that. Awesome. It's Marshall Kent. Thanks for hopping on the Course of Life. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to watching you get more PBA tour titles and improve that golf game with Lindsay as well. All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me again.
That interview with Marshall Kent is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-a-kind phone holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart and work seamlessly with any phone model and Velcros right onto the cart in seconds. Alex, I love putting this thing on when I go out to the course, and I think I may need to get one for the guy I play with.
Yeah, and Mike, we've been saying this for a couple months now, like teasing the actual holiday shopping season. I'm sorry, everyone who's listening right now. In case you didn't realize, like, you actually have to drop everything right now and start holiday shopping. It's time. Black Friday's here. And Desert Fox Golf has a ridiculous deal just in time for holiday shopping. Tell them what they can get, Mike.
Yeah, they do Black Friday only, Friday, November 27th. Buy one, get one half off.
Yes.
Incredible deal. Because usually all offers like 20% off. They're doing buy one, get one half off.
I know, right? Love that.
Awesome. Great. It's great. So make sure you head over to DesertFoxGolf.com this Friday, November 27th, Black Friday. Get your BOGO deal for half off. So you can get one. You can get one for a friend. You can give two away. You can buy four. And then it's like you're getting one free when it's buy one, get one half off. So you can keep one for yourself. Nice. And give away the other three. It's the way to go. DesertFoxGolf.com. Get your phone caddy today. And we're back. Great interview there with Marshall Kent. Man, 16 games of 300, or that's just, you know, I could maybe do that in Wii Sports Bowling.
Yes,
if you remember that game.
Bowling, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Marshall's in double digits there. 4 PBA Tour wins. I love the golf and bowling comparisons as well, too. The finesse of a chip or a putt or a shot or around the green, very similar to trying to pick up that split or knock a spare down in your cart. And I appreciate that comparison because that takes people, you know, who are in the world of golf and locked into the game, you know, out to different parts of sports. And I appreciate that information from Marshall. Very, very informative interview there. I love that.
Yeah, it really is great to hear from someone who plays a sport. You know, you can play really easily. Not right now because COVID, but you can play really easily.
Yeah, no, so and even, cool. Again, Fox Sports, FS1, if you want to check him out, they're airing tournaments fairly regularly. No fans there, but they're still airing them right now. And looking forward to seeing Marshall more on TV and more on leaderboards event there.
Indeed. And if you like that conversation with Marshall, plus everything else we do here, make sure you give us a rating and subscribe on the podcast app of your choice. Really helps let us know that we're doing a great job. If you hate us, you can tell us that too. We'll cry for a little while, but we'll move past it. We're adults.
We're big boys. Yeah.
We're big boys. Let's move into college football because there was some interesting stuff going on there. Before we get into your picks, can we talk about the Clemson Florida State game for a second?
Yeah, what like happened there? Like, I was about to bet Clemson minus 35 because they were an insanely large favorite. And then all of a sudden on Saturday morning, there's a lot of tweets going back and forth. It's almost like the game may have been postponed due to COVID, but it may not have been.
So it was, for those of you that don't know what happened, it was Clemson traveled to Florida.
Yep.
And after they got there, a player tested positive.
One, yep.
And one player tested positive after traveling. And they still wanted to play the game because according to the ACC rules, they were still allowed to play the game because the player immediately started quarantining. But it sounds like Florida State did not want to play this game because the team traveled with a player who tested positive. And I completely agree with this. I think this is the right call not to play this game. But the Clemson team now needs to have people actually test negative twice, as you would do for all this protocol stuff, and make sure they're good to go before you actually let them keep going.
Yeah, the whole thing is just crappy time with the test. Yeah. That's the reality of the situation. And they acted like there was a little politics, and like the official statement was, oh, well, both medical staffs could not come to an agreement on how to safely play the game. It's just like, guys,
it's
you don't have to pass the hot potato. It's okay. We understand what's going on here.
and I'm sorry. My feeling here with this is that if someone tests positive on a team like this and the other team feels it is not safe to play the game, don't play the game.
You're allowed
there is nothing wrong with that. Yeah. These are college kids that aren't getting paid to play. Don't play the game.
Throw it out into Christmas. Throw it out into January. That is my new attitude, Mike, I've taken the last few weeks. I got really like super nervous in my head because I'm like, oh my God, the college football season always ends before Christmas and we have the bowl season. And I'm just like, you know what? It's freaking 2020. Let's just stretch this out. Like, let's take our time finishing the season if we're actually going to go through and play the season. So like, I'm okay with the postponements. We'll play later. We got time. Yeah,
no, that's all right. Rush, that's all right. It'll give you more chances to get actual winning on your bets because you went 4-5 this week. You're just treading water there, not doing great. You know, I think it's messing up your picks here because you can't pick these games that maybe you'd get winners on.
I said as a disclaimer in August that this could be difficult because of the Rona. Because of the Rona. I said it could be difficult, and it is right now. I am still hovering over 50%, so I'm basically breaking even right now. I'd like to get to 55%. That's my mark. If I'm hitting 55% winners, I'm actually taking home money and taking people out for drinks. I'm not doing that right now. We're all staying in. We're staying home.
I was going to say, you're not taking people out to drinks anyway, but it's the sentiment that counts.
In the season, I am. Again, 4-5 this week. My picks are weekly at Course of Life 1 on Twitter. We've got Maction midweek with Thanksgiving week games. We got football on Friday and Saturday and all that good stuff. So stay tuned on Twitter. Hopefully I can deliver a winning week in college.
You know who's not having a good season, though, outside of you, Alex? It's your New England Patriots. How are they doing? How'd they do at Houston?
Let me change the notes right now and add another loss to the calendar right now as we head to Thanksgiving. Mike, I just had a mini dream this week. I just wanted to head to Thanksgiving dinner at 5-5. I didn't think that was too much to ask, as we've dominated the last two decades of my life, but apparently the official verdict is in the Patriots stink. We stink.
I got something for you that'll make you feel better, all right?
Nothing with that.
if you're New England Patriots of the NFC East, they'd be winning with their 4-6 record right yes, now.
Handily, actually. You'd be in control of the division at 4-6 yes. at this point. Yes. But unfortunately, we're not a last move team. So.
The San Francisco 49ers, the worst team in the NFC East, would be winning the NFC East right now. The Minnesota Vikings and Detroit Lions, the worst teams in the NFC North, would be winning the NFC East right now.
Man, I look forward to that Lions football Thursday morning. That'll be so great. Oh, God, some nice crap football. The Lions and the Texans, who just beat my Patriots in humiliating fashion. God.
Yeah, yeah.
The loop continues, Mike. I'm basically being served, speaking of Thanksgiving pie, which we'll get to in a moment, I'm being served the largest slice of humble pie ever this year. And it's in exchange for the 2 decades of winning. So I get it. I understand where it's coming from. It's just hard to deal with. You understand, right?
Yeah, I mean, how does it feel knowing that your Tampa Bay Bucks are doing pretty well?
Cruising. Pretty well. Of course, they're just like cruising altitude right now. nothing's wrong down there in Florida. No, yeah, that doesn't add that adds some more insult to the injury, as they would say. But unfortunately, we move on, and it's the holiday season at least, right?
Let's turn to something sweet as we hashtag always end with the food.
That's right. Thank you. Brought to you by Saucy, promo code Course of Life to get $5 off your first delivery. They deliver beer, wine, snacks for all the holidays in 13 major cities and more. Promo code Course of Life. It's part 4 of 4, our final part of our Thanksgiving Day series. It's Thanksgiving Day week. And first, before we say anything about that, a shout out to you and your birthday. It is your birthday week, so happy birthday to you, Michael, officially. Your birthday falls on Thanksgiving week. We're talking desserts, so I'll let you have the floor. Talk to me about your birthday dessert celebration plans.
So my wife decided what she's going to make for Thanksgiving. I did not veto the choice, let's put it that way. So we're going to have a pear cranberry pie.
Interesting. So pear is the word that sticks out to me. Cranberry I've seen in pies. Have you done the pears before? Has your wife done the pears before?
No, brand new. Oh. It'll either be fantastic or utter shit.
I appreciate that centered swear word right there. Pear cranberry pie. That's an interesting one. My pies are pretty down the middle. I got the classic pumpkin pie already. And then we're doing a chocolate cream pie. That's a nice mix because it goes well with ice cream, goes well with whipped cream, a fun little boozy dessert for anyone who's at home as well, too. We're going to do a little hot chocolate, and you can just pour a little Crown Royal vanilla in there if you want a little boozy hot chocolate as well, too, to get the holiday season officially going. Any thoughts for our wise listening audience on how they should rightfully celebrate their Thanksgiving week and your birthday as well, too, Michael?
Don't worry about the calories.
Yes.
Stay home. Don't invite people over. Wear a mask if you go out. And if you go shopping this weekend, please be nice to the people working in the stores. Please be nice.
Shout out
to the mask brethren. When you go into the store. Be nice.
Shout out to our brethren in retail. And like you just said, take an extra plate. If there is ever a year to take an extra slice or an extra plate, it is this year. So thank you to all of our listening audience out there. Have a very happy Thanksgiving. The next time we hear from you and you hear from us, it will be officially Christmas season on the Course of Life. Everyone have a good week.